I hope I am too. Okay. Exodus chapter 12 describes the Israelites the night before they left Egypt. And there are a number of things that had to take place. And one of them was they were to roast a lamb. And they were instructed to eat the whole lamb, not leave any of it till the morning. This kept coming back to me this week. I believe it has a prophetic meaning to us in this time. Unless you're just waiting for a rapture or waiting to escape planet Earth, you probably have a sense of responsibility, realizing that you're called to be an instrument for change, an instrument for the kingdom of God to come forth in the earth. So it's really important we look at this, because Israel, unless they did what the Lord instructed, they weren't ready to leave. And when we can do this, when we can partake of the, who's the lamb now? It's not a physical lamb we eat. Of course, that represents the Lord Jesus Christ. When we can partake of him, then we are ready to move in God, to leave behind this age that we've been stuck in, and venture forth in the way that God is leading. But we need to realize that when it comes to our Lord and Savior, we can't pick and choose what we want to experience. That's what the human mind does. There's certain attributes of Jesus that I really want. I love that verse that says, ask anything in my name and I'll do it for you. That's one I want. The cross, pick up your cross daily, follow me. Maybe we can leave that one to the side. Our mind evaluates and picks and chooses. But the reality is we need to receive him as he is and whole. Is our mind prepared for that? No, but I think our heart is, and that's where we receive him. We talk about receiving our Lord Jesus as he is. We're really talking about learning how to relate to and receive the word of life. John 1 describes Jesus as the word made flesh. And really, when we're talking about our relationship with him, it becomes more real and we experience who he is as we learn to be led by the Holy Spirit, as we learn to listen to the voice of God, and as we experience words of spirit and life within us. You can't separate the person of the Lord Jesus from his word. He was a word from God made flesh in the earth. So how is it any different in this day as we grow as Christians? It's as we grow and we allow the word of God that's living to grow within us. The question is, what is the Word of God? This came out of a word I was listening to by Bill Johnson recently, and this statement, I'm just going to read it. I'm kind of paraphrasing. He said, it's talking about the early church. It's hard to have the same fruit of the early church when we value a book they didn't have over the Holy Spirit they did have. Okay, now, don't get me wrong. This Bible is the Word of God. Without the Holy Spirit, it doesn't reveal Christ in us. That's the point. They didn't have a book to go by. They had scriptures, Old Testament prophets. It was the Holy Spirit that was making the Word living to them. And that's how they were growing in Christ. Same way today. How do we experience Christ? Words of spirit and life in us. The Holy Spirit becoming an access for God to speak to our heart. And what's in this word becoming living. Now turn with me to John chapter 5, verse 39. Jesus said, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that bear witness of me, and you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. Now, any church you go to, this Bible is going to be preached. But it doesn't mean any church you go to, the preaching of the word is leading to an experience in Christ. Amen. The Pharisees had the word without the Spirit, without a willingness to be open to who God, what God was doing. And the Bible did him no good. This book points to one thing, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is in us what? To lead us into the truth? That's what the Holy Spirit does. It becomes an openness where we can hear from God. And it leads us, as we read the word, into an experience of who our Lord is. In 2 Corinthians 3, Paul says it this way. Let's see, what verse am I looking at? Verse 6. Who made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. What's he talking about, the letter? The law? Yeah. But this Bible without the Spirit is just letter. And if we read the Bible and are not open to the Holy Spirit, it's still a ministry of death, like it is under the law. Do we value the Bible? Yes. But the Bible reveals the life of Christ through the Holy Spirit. Again, words of Spirit and of life. The other important thing is to receive the Lord as He is. It comes down to our attitude toward the words of the Lord. And if we look back at Mary, and I can just read this to you real quick. In Luke chapter 2, verse 19, when the shepherds had shared about this is the birth of Jesus, the shepherds were sharing prophetic words. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. It's a relationship we have with the words. It's not just hearing and moving on to the next thing, but learning to ponder, meditate on what God is speaking, holding it in our heart in that way. The chapter before, 138 says, Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done unto me according to your word." Relating to the word in such a way that we value the power of God's word more important than our own self-will. What was Mary saying? She was hearing things that were beyond her understanding. She was overwhelmed by what the angel told her. But she said, "Be it unto me, let my reality be dictated by what God speaks." Okay, this is the attitude that creates an atmosphere in our heart for words of Spirit and life to reveal the whole Christ to us, to reveal the person of the Lord. We just can't pick and choose when it comes to the word of life. We can't say, "I want this part, not that part." When the word's living, we get the whole package, and it's only the whole package that really works. Philippians 3:10, Paul talks about this, and you know he's talking about his history in the Lord. And it's interesting, in the same verse, he says, if I can get there, "that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings." Wow. He wasn't just talking about the resurrection, he's talking about the suffering, the cross. I think this is where we have trouble with things. Everybody wants resurrection, but nobody wants to talk about the price it takes to get there.
That's right.
There's so many churches today where I don't think the cross is even mentioned. Oh yeah, they refer to what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. But nobody wants to hear about the discipline of the Lord. Nobody wants to hear about the suffering that we need in our life that produces fruit in life. So we create a gospel that's user-friendly, right? We create a gospel that people are discouraged. Life is hard. Let's just give them hope. Let's just tell them this is how you can have a better life. The gospel's not about a better life. It's about a new life. We need to hear the whole thing. John chapter 12. And you don't have to keep turning these places. I'm just going to be reading them. You can reference them later. This is actually a verse that was brought out last week in Terry's word, but I want to go back to it. I think this is part probably something that we would not pick if we're looking at the word and saying, "I want to pick what I want." You'd probably leave this one out. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit." See, no one wants to hear about this, right? This isn't the part of the Lord that we want. You think, well, let's just avoid that part. Let's get to the good stuff. Anything I ask, he'll give to me. Here's my shopping list. These are all the things I want. What a wonderful God that we serve.
Amen.
Well, that verse is true. That's John 15:7. But before that it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So what does that mean? That has something to do with the work of the cross, I think, doesn't it? This thing of dying we don't like. But look at this. It talks about a seed of wheat falling into the ground. We don't like this. Our ego doesn't like this sense of falling. Nobody likes to fall down, right? It's embarrassing. It's a sign of weakness.
That's right.
And so when our ego falls, we're very uncomfortable with it. But do we understand that that is Jesus Christ coming forth in us? When it's the work of the cross, that feeling of being uncomfortable, just look at it this way. That's the Lord leading you into resurrection life. We need a discernment to be able to recognize when this sense of falling is being directed by God. And to be able to submit to Him in it. To be buried in the ground. Again, think about what this means to you in your own ego. Nobody wants to be buried. Because when you're buried, nobody's noticing you. You're not important. You feel alone, right? We want to avoid those things. But what happens when you're buried and it's God doing the burying? You bear much fruit. You're not alone. Again, I think the church today is being taught part of the gospel and thinking that we can just take part of it and it works. You can't divide up the word of God that way.
No.
You either eat the whole thing or you eat nothing, really.
Yes.
I want to talk a little bit about the law and life. Because our mind always is working for compromise. The opposite of God's nature. When it comes to the law, I think this is something we really need to deal with. We hear a lot about it. Oh yes, I'm not under law, I'm in grace. But I think all of us still want to hold on to some of the law. Now, the ceremonial law? No. Nobody here wants to hold on to that, right?
Right.
We look at the Ten Commandments, we want to hold on to that. Ceremonial law, dietary laws. Remember, there's over 600 laws given to Israel. And by the way, that was given to Israel way back when. It wasn't given to you. That was something God spoke over the whole earth. He spoke that specifically to them. Most of us here are Gentiles. The point being is we still want to hold on to certain things because it makes us feel comfortable. You go into any church, they can preach about grace, but I guarantee you certain laws are going to be held in place, like the law of tithing. Now, that's a whole other word to get into. New Testament principle is giving. Let me tell you, that's very much of the Lord. But a lot of people are held in bondage. There's this cloud of guilt over them. You have got to give so much or God's going to be mad at you.
That's right.
Well, it's not the law of tithing. It's the freedom that we can be generous and give back to the Lord. He all our money belongs to Him.
Yeah.
But what covenant are we living under? Now, if we're under any law, we're accountable for the whole law. James Chapter 2, verse 10. Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he's become guilty of all. And there's another scripture deals with the same thing. The Lord, Jesus talked about that. So you say, I just want this little bit of law. What's the big deal? If you want the little bit of law, you're held accountable for all of it. And what is how does Paul describe the law in 2 Corinthians 3? The law, what does he describe it as? The ministry of what?
Death
and condemnation. I don't know if you've thought about this. We're in Christ Jesus. We need to be free of accusation, condemnation, right? That doesn't belong in our world. Yet being under the law in that atmosphere, the voice of condemnation can never be extinguished in an atmosphere of law. I just want to hold on to a little bit. Whatever you hold on to, you're under the whole thing, and you are going to be subject to condemnation, because that's that ministry of death and condemnation. We believe that we face condemnation and that voice of accusation because of our sin. Okay. But really, it goes deeper than that. It's the legalism and still being under the old covenant of law that keeps us hearing that false voice of condemnation. We have got to swallow the new covenant, which is Christ, whole.
Amen.
Hebrews, it talks about the new covenant coming in. And what does it say about the old? Hebrews chapter 8. It's obsolete. It's not a mixture of the two. It's not a hybrid. You don't want a hybrid when it comes to the gospel. With a car, yes. When it comes to the gospel, you want the pure new covenant. Eat the whole lamb. Just who the Lord is. Words of spirit and life. And I think we're all still struggling because we've got little pockets in our thinking of certain laws we're holding on to. And we need to let it go and recognize that we can't hold on to any of it. We're in a whole new day, a whole new age. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. It's interesting because you know Jesus went to the cross and all our sins were put on the cross, right? It says also, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, taking it out of the way and having nailed it to the cross. You find this again in Ephesians 2:14. What's being spoken here? The Lord took the law to the cross too. All those decrees, the law was condemning us for our sin. He died so that we would be freed from the law as well as our sin. So with our mind, we think, I can keep a little bit of law and it'll work. And God says, no, you hold on to the old, nothing works. We come to the Lord and we say, I'm going to try to keep a little bit of the gospel, the parts I like. At least that's going to work and bring me life. And God says, no, you've got to swallow the whole thing. So when we talk about a renewed mind, we're talking about the mind that can accept who Christ is, the word that he gives in its entirety. It doesn't mean with our minds we understand it or that we don't struggle with things. And I want to talk about this in just a minute. But there's a way that we can receive the word in our heart and say yes to God, even though our mind's not on board yet, just like Mary did. Be it done unto me according to your word is, God, I don't know what's going on here. My mind cannot figure this out. Maybe my mind doesn't even like it. I'm not sure that Mary was excited about her destiny when it was told to her she was going to bear a child. I'm not married yet. What will people think? You know, we got to go back and picture what it was like for her in facing that.
Amen.
But she received the word in her heart. She said yes to God on a heart level. And then he was able to renew her mind with time.
Yes.
If we look at Matthew 16, you can read that later. We know a familiar story with Peter and how the mind works to compromise things. Now, Peter had a revelation that Jesus was the Christ, okay? And you remember what followed from that? Jesus talking about going to the cross, and Peter says, may it never be. No, that's not going to happen. And Jesus turns to Peter and says, Lord, rebuke you, Satan. You're not setting your interest on God, but rather on man. Now, what's happening here is Jesus is speaking something that Peter finds totally unacceptable. And by the way, I'm sure all the other disciples felt the same way. They just weren't vocal about it. So here he's received part of the word. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's real to him. But he's trying to reject this other part that Jesus must go to the cross. Just like all of us. We find certain parts unacceptable. His mind could not accept it. How does Jesus address this? He condemns Satan. Because when we're resisting God, when we're resisting part of the package of who the Lord is, it's the devil's influence. The Lord is all good. It's all good for us. So when we look at part of it and say, no, I don't want that, we're being influenced by the enemy. So Jesus rebukes the enemy. And he gives a reason why the enemy's be able to get in there. Peter is concerned about human interest, ego interest. He's part of this great movement. Jesus is a superhero. Superheroes don't go to the cross and die, right? They become kings. So he confronts the motivation. Here, Peter, you're concerned about what's good for you, the ego. You're not thinking about the will of God. And that's where the openness comes in. Okay, we get this. What he doesn't do is reject Peter. He doesn't tell Peter, you can't be a disciple anymore. I'm sorry. You're not on board with what I'm doing. You're gone. Look at the patience of how the Lord worked with Peter throughout all this. All the years, the 3.5 years they walked with him, they didn't get it. Their minds resisted that part of who the Lord was going to the cross. He didn't condemn them. He didn't try to preach them into it. Come on, you guys need more sermons. You're not getting this thing. All the tactics and the tricks we use in church, Lord didn't do. He knew they would get there eventually. He knew they had to receive the Holy Spirit. They had to go through certain things until they were ready to hear the truth. Even after he rose again. Remember, they went to the tomb. They still didn't get it. Yet when he came back to them in resurrected form and fellowship with them, and then the day of Pentecost, before that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Then they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Something changed in their thinking. They got it. Why are we so hard on ourselves? We have pockets of resistance in our thinking that's trying to reject part of the package of who the Lord is, and we condemn ourselves for it. But the truth is, it's not something that can be instantly changed. I wish it could. Jesus healed bodies in an instant. Revelation comes like a flash of lightning in an instant. But when it comes to changing the patterns of our thinking, unfortunately, it takes time. You got to walk with him. Stay open to him. And if you do that, your mind is going to change. You're going to accept what you find unacceptable today, if it's the Lord. We have problems not just with, I think, parts of who the Lord is, the cross. Let's bring it down in some practical terms. Disappointments in life. I was thinking about this. Things that have happened to us that we find totally unacceptable. And we fight it. We fight it. And we fight it. And God patiently loves us. And you know, when something happens, I was thinking about one thing in my life a while back. And it took me years to accept. In the beginning, you think, well, this isn't God. I don't like this. This is something I can't accept. I'm supposed to fight this with faith. And it's hard to know, isn't it? If it's a Goliath out there, yes. We don't say, okay, a Goliath, you can live. No, if it's a Goliath out there, we use our faith to bring it down.
Amen.
But if it's the cross, we use our faith to submit. And a lot of times in the beginning, when we're suffering a disappointment, a heartache, we don't know the difference. But in John 7:17, Jesus said, if anyone is willing to do my will, he'll know if the teaching is correct or not. If we're willing to do the will of the Father, somewhere along the line you'll know whether that's a Goliath to be fought or it's the cross you need to surrender to. And when it's the cross we need to surrender to, sometimes disappointments go very deep within us. Let's not pretend we're on board with God when we're not. Let's not try to make nice, oh God, thy will be done. I can't voice any of the anger and the anguish I'm feeling. Read the Psalm, Book of Psalms, if you're thinking that way.
Amen.
God knows the struggle we have in our mind. But the good news is this. If we're willing to do his will, and it is the work of the cross, there's a point where your mind is freed from it. And you know, with disappointments, I think the big thing with all of us is we ask why. If we find something unacceptable, our question to God is, why is this happening?
That's right.
This isn't fair. When we can accept it, when it's from God, it's not that he ever gives an answer to that question that satisfies our mind. It's just that that question no longer torments us. You look at God and say, I don't need to know why. It's okay. It's your hand. I'm good with it. That doesn't happen overnight.
No.
Just like with Peter, the unacceptable. Jesus, you can't go to the cross. He did go to the cross. Peter came not only to accept it, but his mind was renewed where he could manifest that reality. Like Paul and the apostles of the early church, that reality of the cross became the power of God through them, opening up a whole new age. Well, this is what we're called to do. We're called to receive the Lord as he is in full. Are our minds prepared for that? No. But if we're willing to do the will of God, God, as we walk with him, is going to change our thinking and renew us where we can accept him in his fullness. Amen. Let's stand. I had more here, but I think we're there. Father, bless the word to our hearts this morning. Help us not to hide from the pain in our life, the disappointments, from the things that are going on. We're not going to act religious and pretend they're not there. But Lord, let everything come up to the light. And even things that we can't accept today, we want to accept you as you are in full. We don't want to resist in any way what you're doing in our lives. And we ask you for the grace for this to be accomplished. May your words of spirit and life continue to grow in our heart. And our attitude is this, Father. Let it be done unto us in this day and generation according to your word. Amen.